Good morning. You can have a seat. My name is Scott McDermott. I'm one of the pastors here at Carmel UMC, and we are so glad that you are with us today. This is an exciting day for several reasons. One is we have a big announcement coming, but you'll have to wait a second for that. Also because today is different than every other day at this contemporary service that you have ever attended. We are mixing it up, in particular the order of the service today, for one really good reason. It's because Pastor Patty, our senior pastor, is going to be preaching this morning, and she needs to do it, like, now. Because she's going to preach in here, and then she's going to run, while wearing her robe, which is dangerous, so be careful, okay, over to the traditional service and preach in the sanctuary as well. And we wanted her to do that in person, because she's delivering kind of a beginning of the year, what is the vision and direction of the church message. And nobody can do that like the senior pastor can do that at a church. She is my boss, and she is the leader of this congregation, and we are so excited to have her preach today. So I realize that we're messing with your order. I realize that we normally do two songs at the beginning and then announcements, but everything is getting flipped upside down today. So I need to do one thing before I invite Pastor Patty to come up this morning, which is release the children for Sunday school. Again, I know that doesn't normally happen right now. We're going to bring them back later in the service where they can be here for more music and things like that. But for today only, we need to go ahead and release them right now. So if you are a child who wants to go to Sunday school, meet with Amy back in the back by the Coke machine right now while I introduce Patty Napier, our senior pastor, to come up on stage and share with us her message today. So would you give a round of applause for Patty Napier?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Scott. It is an honor to be here, and I also always say it's like coming back home because this was a home for me a number of years ago. But before I begin today's message, will you bow your heads in prayer with me, please? Gracious and holy God, we just praise you and thank you for this opportunity to be here together today. Our primary purpose here today is to worship you and to praise you. Our purpose also is to seek you and to join you in the call that you have for our lives. So God, I just pray that you will be just so powerfully present and that your spirit will inspire us to join you and to serve you in big and bold ways. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'll begin with, first of all, saying, well, welcome to Epiphany Sunday. And so if some of you know what Epiphany Sunday is, it's very church language. And Epiphany Day every year happens on January 6th. And the Sunday that's closest to it becomes Epiphany Sunday. So what happened on Epiphany? Well, if during Christmas season maybe you sang or maybe you heard sung, you know that song that just goes on and on, seems to have no end, the 12 Days of Christmas. Well, that song really is kind of about this Epiphany Day, because the 12 days actually begin on Christmas Day and end on Epiphany Day. So what was the epiphany, the aha moment that happened then, was that the wise men arrived at the manger, and they experienced the birth of Jesus Christ. And there was an aha moment, as it was the manifestation to all Gentiles that the Christ had been born. Lots of conversation about, were there really three wise men or were there more? But one thing that we do celebrate regularly is that there were three gifts that they brought, and it was gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And those are actually symbolic gifts that tell us something about this child that was born. The gift of gold reminds us that he is a child of royal standing. The gift of frankincense reminds us of the divine birth, and the gift of myrrh reminds us that ultimately that he would die. Every year, as a part of this celebration in our preschool, when they're here on January 6th, we always have an arrival of the wise men, and I say I'm showing you the arrival of the wise guys. That's what I'm calling this one. On the left is Lloyd. He's one of our amazing, totally wonderful custodians here at the church. In the middle, I don't know who that guy is. It's Scott McDermott, and you guys know him. And then on his right is his buddy, also is Kevin Andrews, who is a part of our youth ministry. And what a blessing all of them are. And this is always a very fun event. I think that the arrival for me, the arrival at the wise men at the manger, reminds me of this point. That what God originates, God orchestrates. What God originates, God orchestrates. If you remember also on Christmas, we read from the story in Luke chapter 1 and the story of Mary and how God told her the vision that he had for his life, that she was the one that was going to give birth to the Savior of the world. And how did she respond? She said, well, how can this be since I'm a virgin? And to that question, the angel responded, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. And again, because what God originates, God orchestrates. And so what happened is that with both the wise men and the Mary and their experience, God put something inside of their heart. And it was this passion, and it was this inspiration that they could not deny, and all that they knew was that they needed to be faithful and to follow Jesus or follow God through this. And that's exactly what they did. And so God often lays upon our hearts a vision that can make total difference in our hearts. I also think that when God's vision can touch even meaningless, trivial kinds of moments in our lives, and that can change those into being very meaningful and important kinds of moments. And I'll share an example with you. How many of you would be excited to shovel gravel all day long, wheelbarrow after wheelbarrow, in 90 degrees weather and humidity that is just about the same? So, would we be excited about that? I'm going to guess probably not. I wouldn't elect that if someone asked me generally. But let me put it in a different perspective. How many of you would be excited to spend all day long shoveling and moving gravel, wheelbarrow after wheelbarrow, in an impoverished community in Appalachia, knowing that you were doing this to create a pathway for cars to drive into an undeveloped site where children who have absolutely no opportunity to ever participate in an organized kind of sport or event, but it would allow people to have access to that kind of space? Would you understand that a little differently? Would it feel a little differently in the midst of the process? And I personally have done that and experienced that, and I will answer that with yes. It makes it totally different. It has a totally different meaning. A number of years ago, Sandy Phillips, one of our members, I don't know if she's here. I can look around. Ah, there she is. A number of years ago, we were on mission in Appalachia at Henderson Settlement, and that's exactly what she and I led with several youth that year, is for multiple days in this heat, in this humidity. That's what we did. And normally I wouldn't be so crazy about doing that kind of task, but I'll tell you, understanding that it was a part of God's vision, and it was a part of why God had us there and what God wanted us to be doing, made a total difference. I wanted to share with you today a man in the Old Testament who also understood God's vision and understood what it meant to follow him. And that person in the Old Testament is Nehemiah. Because he got it. He got it, what it means when there's a vision that comes into your heart from God. Let me back up and tell you a little bit about a little history about his life. In about 587 BC, the Babylonians attacked and took over Jerusalem. So they took over the city and they tore down the temple. And many of the persons that were living there were removed, and they were removed to live in their community in Babylonia. And some of the people you may know, you may recognize these names. Daniel was moved, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Nehemiah was also another person that was moved at that time. And so they lived there as slaves, doing what they were called to do for a while. And finally, Cyrus, king of Persia, allowed some of the persons to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. While all this history was unfolding, Nehemiah had laid on his heart this passion for what was happening or what was not happening with his people. And so we begin in the first chapter. Nehemiah kind of describes what he felt. So I read to you verses 3 through 4. The survivors in the province who escaped captivity are in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been destroyed by fire. When I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, fasting and praying before the God of heaven. So this crying wasn't just some little sweet little cry or some just emotive moment for him. I mean, this was just downright his gut-wrenching. He was just so upset to the core. Now, you also need to know that Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king. It means he was a slave. That was his role. But here's the way that God was able to orchestrate and work through Nehemiah. Because this was his job, he was with the king every day, practically every moment. Because anytime the king would want to drink something, this cupbearer would need to take a sip first to make sure there was no poison in there. So Nehemiah was with the king all the time. And the other thing that happened because they developed this relationship is the king had always noticed, you know, this guy never seems sad. I mean, he always seems just, you know, upbeat and everything's going right. And one time when he saw him sad, he asked him what was wrong. And Nehemiah, what was wrong was that God had laid this on his heart that he needed. God wanted Nehemiah to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall. And Nehemiah wasn't really quite frankly sure about how to approach the king about this. But he knew it was a vision. He knew it was a call. And so he knew he needed to share this with the king. He did, and then the king released him to go back and to lead for that to happen. I just told you chapters 1 and 2 of Nehemiah. Now I'm going to tell you chapter 3, and I think really chapter 3 is the takeaway for today. And I will also predict that you won't be crazy about reading chapter 3, so I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. If you ever read the scripture in Genesis, there's that chapter, and sometimes if you read it in King James Version, it goes, so-and-so begat so-and-so, and the begats, you know, on and on, one name after the other. And you think, I don't know what I'm getting out of this. Well, kind of, sort of, a little bit, chapter 3, a little bit like that, because it is a list of lots and lots of names, but not only names, but also it lists some things that they did. But the difference here is they'd say the name of someone, and they'd say, next to him, and then talk about someone else and what they did. And next to him, this is what someone else did. And next to him, this is what someone else did. On and on and on, names and what they did throughout the chapter. But it always said, next to him, this is what the next guy did. Next to him, this is what the next guy did. And then I think when they got a little tired of saying next to him, then they also flip over and start talking about, well, after him. So there's a name, and after him, this guy did this, and after him, this guy did this. And let me tell you, there's a long list because there are 14 next to's in that chapter and 16 after him. That's a lot of names and a long list of names. Why? And I think what this is significant and what it says to us is that this was a community who gathered to support the vision and the leadership of Nehemiah. And I think that's what is significant for us to know is that there was leadership in place who prayerfully considered what the vision was to be. He stood up and he was leading the vision, and all the persons followed and to help to fulfill this vision. So, what is the vision of this congregation for 2017? I mean, in here, I'm sure, and in print, you often see the vision statement as we talk about that we connect with God and others, and we grow in biblical, we grow in our faith through biblical learning, and we serve our local community and our world as faithful followers of Jesus Christ, and that's the vision that we want every person in this congregation to be living out. And what I'd like to further say as we look at 2017, what we are hopeful of seeing happening is that as we live out this vision, as we measure how we live this out, we are hopeful that this year that we see at least 5% growth in the way that individuals participate in connecting, growing, and serving. And so that's what we are as a staff are about, is providing those kinds of opportunities for those kinds of things to happen. But that 5% will never happen if the persons don't hear God and don't respond to this vision and say, you know what, this is a way I can grow, and this is the way that I can step this up. So just a couple quick examples as we talk about serving. I use the example right now of our food pantry that has been around here for 25 years. In the early years of our food pantry, we really had plenty of volunteers because it was small and there were very few hours. But the need in this community has increased the operation of this food pantry so much, and we have had to increase our hours of operation so significantly that now I will say to you, we are in need of you as persons to step up and to support this outreach. And it doesn't matter if you're retired. It doesn't matter if you are single. It doesn't matter if you have children. We need you. We need the persons. We need the persons desperately. And this coming year, our children in our youth ministries will participate in at least two kinds of mission outreaches. If you have children that have never participated in a specific youth outreach, or grandchildren that have not, You could be a part of the growth of that 5% by encouraging those individuals to participate and to connect and to share in that experience. Those are the kinds of ways that we can look to be a part of growth in serving at this church. Let's talk about growing through biblical learning. Another opportunity for all of us to grow is through small groups. And I say this often, did you know that spending time in small groups and sharing life together has a direct correlation with healthier relationships? And if that is true, I guess I just want to ask, why aren't you in a small group? Why aren't you participating in part of a small group and in that kind of relationship? And if you're not, that can be a piece of a 5% growth in that area, that aspect of our church. So I say to you, listen to God speaking into your heart, where he may be calling you to become a part of a small group. And even just kind of biblical learning moments. Periodically at various seasons, we publish just even devotional kinds of publications. What would it be like to pick those up and daily commit to reading those? Or what about downloading the Carmel app on your phone and we periodically send out daily push notifications? Those are also ways that we can grow in the way that we are growing, and those are opportunities. Throughout biblical teachings, we're also shown frequently that what we need to do is assess the way that we give monetarily to the church, because that says something about our heart and our relationship with God. So perhaps it's a time to settle down and stop and ask ourselves, is this a place that I could be growing, could be a part of a 5% growth of this church? Maybe I need to reconsider my stewardship of what God has given to me. And finally, as I talk about ways that let's connect, I think Scott already referred to, there's kind of some news, and so I will share that some news as a part of Let's Connect. Last year at Easter, we had this contemporary service at 11, but we also had a contemporary service at 9:30. So last Easter, 9:30 and 11, contemporary service, in addition to traditional. This year for Easter, we're going to do the same, 9:30 and 11 o'clock our contemporary services. The difference for us this year that we're very excited about is that we're not going to have that scheduling be just a one-time kind of experience. We have heard from you, many persons here who have asked and who have requested, and we have seen the growth that indicates to us that we are ready to launch on a regular basis a 9:30 contemporary service. Yeah, we're pretty excited. But now I'm going to turn to how is this kind of growth going to happen, and I'm going to turn to you as persons who have asked for this and who have requested this, because you hold the responsibility and opportunity to make sure that this grow. How does that happen? I don't know. Maybe you're a family that makes it to church once a month. Well, gosh, I could grow in my faith, and I could really make a difference if I came to church 2, 3, 4 times a month. That's an opportunity for growth. I may have friends or neighbors or people I work with, I know, who do not have a church family. And an invitation to them, not just, hey, got this church at 126th and Rangeline. No, why don't you come to church with me? And why don't you sit together? Those are opportunities that we're looking for growth. So let me ask you to do this. You guys have bulletins, don't you? On the front of your bulletin, there, I think there's a big space there under that vision graphic that we have. I know that God lays upon our hearts, nudges us to continually grow in our relationship with him. I know that. And here's how I know many times it happens. If you hear someone talking about something like an opportunity to serve, and then you hear it again, you think, oh my gosh, I'm hearing that again. Guess what? That very well could be God nudging you. If you hear the need or something touches your heart and you think, oh my gosh, and you can't let go, it's kind of in your mind a little bit, let me tell you something about that. That's probably God nudging you. And so if we want to be like Nehemiah, the next thing we need to do is to participate in this vision is to do something about it, to follow the call of God. So what I want you to write on your bulletin is something that you know, you may have heard it, you may have felt it multiple times, whether it's about connecting or growing or serving. But I do know that if every one of us paid attention to those kinds of moments, put it down on paper, committed to it, I know that the growth that we would see in this congregation would be way beyond 5%. And it's up to you. And not only do we want that church, that growth for this church, what I want is I want that growth opportunity for you personally, for your relationship with Jesus Christ. You may be doing a lot of serving. Maybe it's time to commit in this growth in a biblical learning kind of experience. I don't know. But you and God know that. I know that. So I hope that you will write something down on that, on the front of your bulletin. You can put your name on it or not. And we have large baskets at door 6 and at door 3. Don't throw out your bulletin today. Don't recycle it. Put it in that basket. And then I will keep those bulletins, and I will pray over those, whether it's by name or not, because that's the commitment or the nudging that we have for growth opportunity for this congregation and for you. So I hope that you'll prayerfully consider what it needs to be. Will you bow your heads in prayer with me, please? Gracious and holy God, we do praise you and thank you that whatever you plan and wherever you call us to, whatever you orchestrate, we know that you are there and that you're there to guide us and provide for us, and we praise you and thank you. God, help every single one of us to not just take for granted or to ignore a nudge that you're providing us, but instead to be bold enough and courageous enough to just join the spirit that's in our hearts and to take on this challenge. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you for listening to me today.
Can you give a round of applause for Patty Napier? Well, this is exciting news. I know many of you have asked for years for this opportunity to have a 9:30 contemporary service, and we're really excited about it. Patty mentioned that there's a personal challenge for you to grow in your faith. I would also add that we need people to help us grow our volunteer team in order to successfully pull this off. So we need more volunteers to be ushers and greeters. We need more volunteers for the tech team back in the back. We need more people in the band so that we can take some of the burden off of our current volunteers and not ask them to be here every Sunday for like 5 hours. So if we can grow that team, give people weeks off, it's going to be a huge blessing to us and an opportunity for you to be a part of growing our church. And so we would love for you to talk to me, talk to someone else who is in leadership here at the church, and we will get you plugged in with those opportunities. I'm going to pray for us right now as we're going to go into a time of offering. So we're going to ask our ushers to come forward during this next song. If you have a gift that you want to give to the church, we would appreciate that, and we promise to use it to continue to grow God's kingdom, to continue to do the work that he's given us to do here at Carmel UMC. So let's pray over that, and then we'll have a time of worship. Father God, thank you for this day, and thank you for this great news. We're so excited to think of the ways that you're going to use this opportunity to grow us as individuals, as we continue to come and be faithful in our worship, in our commitment to you, in growing and serving. Father, but we also think of those who don't yet have a church home, who might find Carmel UMC at the 9:30 hour to be the perfect place for them, who might be invited by one of us, whether it's a neighbor or a coworker, whether it's a relative or a friend. God, that we might invite them and they could come and be a part of this church, and that they would feel like so many of us feel. They would feel accepted in this place. They would feel loved in this place. That they would be welcomed in this place, that they could grow in their faith in this place. And so, Father, we just pray over them right now. We don't know their names yet. We haven't met them yet. But we know that you know them, that you know even the number of hairs on their head. And so, Father, right now we're praying for them, and we're praying that you be working in our hearts to prepare us to welcome them with open arms. And, Father, that you would be speaking into their hearts right now, that you would be nudging them in your soft, gentle way, that your Holy Spirit would use that still, small voice to tell them that this is something that they do want, that they want a place where they can be loved and where they can grow. Lord, help us to be ready for them. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.